Sleepy town settled for the night, where every lawn is tailored just right. And it's about time that the back porch light comes on. At the house down the street, at that house on Magnolia Street.
So, anyway, hey, witch, hey.
Hey, witch, hey. I'm Christina.
I'm Justina. Welcome to Magnolia Street,
your one and only musically inspired practical magic fandom podcast.
Yeah, every week we deep dive on different aspects of the movie and the books, as well as treat your ears to our very own practical magic inspired original music.
Yeah, this week we're going to be talking about a little springtime favorite. Kind of goes under the radar a little bit in this story. We're going to talk about Lily of the Valley. And some of you keen viewers and fashion lovers might recall that Sally wears not one, but two different outfits with Lily of the Valley print on them.
Yeah, I didn't even realize, like, when you told me you wanted to do Lily of the Valley as a topic, I was like, what does Lily of the Valley have to do with anything? I mean, besides a couple mentions in the book, maybe, I don't remember any of them, but then you showed me this and I was like, holy shit, I didn't even realize that that was the print that was on her shirt. Like, I remember the green botanicals on her dress in or the sweater in that one scene, but I didn't even realize that it was Lily of the Valley.
And I always thought it was one outfit until, like, I rewatched and looked back. I was like, that is two separate scenes, because she wears, like, the dress with the pattern in the one scene and then the sweater in another scene. So the sweater is in the pre-phone tree day when she's writing down in her little journal and at the phone tree. And then the dress she wears when she's talking to Dwight and Gary in the verbena shop, which makes me think, because there's such similar patterns, was this sold as a set in their universe? We're going to talk about this actual dress in a moment, but like, that's a lot of print if that was sold as a set.
What if, okay, hear me out. What if Sally just like bought a bolt of fabric and just used it for multiple things? Because that sweater, like that whole spiel that she's got going on there, it looks like it could be homemade. And knowing what we know, well, like the aunts, like they do their whole, like they spin their yarn or their thread or whatever. Like, who knows what other kind of like sewing projects that they do in that household. So I could totally see Sally getting this big thing of fabric and having multiple uses for it and getting a sweater out of it, a dress out of it.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I didn't even think of that. But this like suits her so much, like going toward her Virgo-ness is what we think where she kind of lies. But it's just like her in those earthy tones just suits her so beautifully.
Definitely. Very pretty.
So I had never seen this dress or done any digging on it until this episode. So I was trying to find anything because you can't fucking find this dress anywhere. But Reddit had a little bit of something. Somebody mentioned looking for this outfit as well. And they got a comment stating, it said, quote, the dress and the top are from Blue Marine spring/summer 1998 collection. So I went looking for that. I found it, but it was red. It's a red dress. Couldn't find a white one. But a photo that did pop up along the way was that another actress, Shannon Sossman, is that how you say her name? I only know her from A Knight's Tale, but she's from 40 Days and 40 Nights. She's wearing the same cardigan in one of these pictures. Just checking these photos out, I went back over to search for that Blue Marine Spring and Summer 1998. And I clicked on the red dress just to see where it would bring me. And there was just one picture in an Etsy carousel of like eight photos of a runway model with the white dress on. I even like reverse photo searched this model walking this runway. Can't find anything. Couldn't find anything. But the dress on Etsy, somebody has it. They're selling the red one. The red one is labeled as Blue Marine Spring Summer 1998, rare vintage Lily of the Valley, red silk, midi dress with lace details and pink ribbon. It's a size small made in Italy for $1,400.
Holy shit, Sally.
That
All right, so if we're not going off of the theory that she like homemade this out of like a huge sheet of fabric, Sally is splurging on designer clothing to just sit around the Owens mansion. That is bougie as fuck.
That is the Owens way. But that would be, I love that theory that she made it because it looks like it could be made that way. Yeah, at first I wasn't convinced that this was the actual dress because like in the pictures we see, you can't really see a lot of the details, and 1998, the film is It's not great, but like you can tell that under the bust line, there's like a little green bow that's woven in and out. And I was kind of going off of that. I don't even remember seeing like the ruffliness because it comes to like your shin. It's like a shin length dress, midi dress. When she's walking after Gary and she's like folding her little cardigan over her body and she's walking at him, I couldn't even remember seeing though if those ruffles were there, but I'm pretty sure they were there. This dress, okay, so $1,454.14 on Etsy. It's still for sale.
Damn. Like, that's crazy to me that, like, okay, I don't know, maybe it the price went up on it because it's considered vintage. I guess 98 is considered vintage. It's over 20 years at this point.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, maybe the price markup is due to it being vintage. I don't know how much this would have went for back in the 90s, like if it was like right off a rack and like Macy's or some shit. Or is, I don't know, like Blue Marine, I've never heard of that designer before. Like, is that a big designer?
I mean, it says made in Italy, so I'm wondering if it's an Italian designer. I can search it real quick. I didn't go any farther into like what their average baseline price was because I am not a Sagittarius.
Okay. So wait, bluemarine.com. Let's see.
It's very couture.
Yeah.
Okay, they're in like the $1,300, $1,700 range, it looks
Okay.
like. So
So it's
high
not.
end.
All right, so it is high end. It's not just due to it being vintage. It is actually a high end clothing line.
Yes,
Okay.
Sally.
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay, so this description on Google says Blue Marine is an Italian brand that combines Y2K opulence. That's what it says.
It's an oxymoron.
How do you put Y2K and opulence in the same sentence?
That's
Hilarious.
awesome.
The Y2K opulence, Italian craftsmanship, and a modern perspective. The brand is known for its romantic, hyper-feminine aesthetic, which that Sally dress is very beautiful and romantic, hyper-feminine, and is stocked internationally. Blue Marine clothing is characterized by short skirts, slinky tops, bedazzled details, and color mixes like ice blues mixed with burgundies, peaches, and creams. Anna Molinari and her late husband, Giampaolo Tarabini, founded Blue Marine in 1977 in the town of Capri in the province of Modena. The name was inspired by the couple's favorite color and their love of the sea. In 2019, Nicola Brognano took over as a creative director, and his vision reflects the symbols of femininity he saw in his childhood. Recent collections have included butterfly motifs, dollar bill prints, and body glitter.
Oh my God.
And Blue Marine fosters freedom, frivolity, spontaneity, and exudes confidence, lightheartedness, irreverence, joie de vivre, trueness, and irony.
I'm putting my opinion out there. These dresses look kind of like the dresses I saw at prom. The cuts and the shapes. It's
All right,
very,
let me see.
I graduated in 2007.
Yeah, they're like some of them are kind of have that like Greek goddess kind of toga feel to them with the little over the shoulder sling and very loose fitting bodice. But some of these are, yeah, very, I don't want to say dated, but you know.
Very Y2K.
Yeah, definitely.
That price point is out of my budget, but that dress is beautiful. And if there was ever like a remake, I would definitely wear it.
Yeah, if y'all can find that on the interwebs, it's vintage, so.
But apart from like Lily of the Valley being May's birth flower, along with the hawthorn flower, which we talk about the hawthorn a lot on the show, as well as it being the surname of John Hathorn Hawthorne and Nathaniel Hawthorne. I wanted to just dig into this little flower and maybe discover if Sally was intentionally choosing these outfits with Lily's correspondences in mind for those days. Just as a heads up, this will just be covering Lily of the Valley. Lily on its own is it's a whole host of other varieties that Justine and I are probably going to cover later down the line. Because they absolutely have their own place in the books. But for today, in honor of May and a little post-Beltane Fae talk, let's get into where Lily of the Valley shows up in the books.
So this is book number one on page 45, and this is the only mention. So this says, for the first time in ages, Sally thought how pleasant it would be to speak again, to read bedtime stories to her daughters and recite a poem and name all the flowers that bloomed early in the season. Lily of the Valley and Jack in the Pulpit and Purple Hyacinth. She was thinking about flowers, those white ones shaped like bells, when for no particular reason, she turned left on Endicott Street and headed for the park.
And is she saying the white ones shaped like bells because she mentioned like three different flowers? That probably is Lily of the Valley because they're so tiny and they just look like a little like fae hat.
They are very tiny, right? Are they related at all to the foxglove? Because they're also like little bells, right?
I don't think so. Actually, you're gonna be surprised at who they are related to.
Okay.
Okay.
Excited. All right, so the next mention is in Rules of Magic. This is book two, and there's a couple mentions in this one. So this is on page 29. This says, Jet's favorite place to be was the garden. She adored the shady pools of greenery where azaleas and lily of the valley grew wild. Ever since they'd been told their cousin's story, she was anxious when rabbits came to eat parsley and mint and the curly Boston lettuce that was planted in neat rows. And on page 284, Hay, talking about Halen, had always thought Franny smelled like Lily of the Valley, which grew in wild clutches in the woodlands in Central Park each spring. He missed the past, but now that they were together again, he missed it less. Franny stroked his torso and his broad back, always amazed to find that he was now a man rather than the boy she'd first fallen in love with. But this wasn't love. They'd agreed to that. It was simply everything else. I wonder what Lily of the Valley smells like. Did you ever smell Lily
I
of the Valley?
don't have a memory of ever smelling it.
Yeah. I don't think we have them a lot around here because, like, they're not like I've never seen them around here anyway. I mean, there probably are, but they're not like one of those typical things that springs up and pops up randomly in New Jersey.
Like our daffodils.
Right. Yeah. Like tulips, pansies,
Snowdrops.
yeah. Like, even snowdrops. I see crocuses like popping up here and there, but I don't think I've ever seen Lily of the Valley in the wild.
Me either.
Right, so now we're moving on to magic lessons, and this is only one mention in this book on page 172, and this is Maria's story. And this says there were many toxic potions that could be made from the local plants: hogweed, lily of the valley, castor bean, tansy, bittersweet nightshade, mountain laurel, yew leaf, white baneberry, henberry, horse nettle, pokeberry, pure cyanide in the pits of wild cherries. But what was done could not be undone, and vengeance always returned to its maker.
It
Yeah, Lily of the
is.
Valley is poisonous, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yes, yep.
And Book of Magic, there were actually no mentions of Lily of the Valley specifically, but there were many mentions of lilies, which again we'll talk about at a later time. That's about it for the books,
I
right?
know. Yeah, I'm just really interested because it's like it's not an in-your-face bright choice for fashion, but it's very beautiful and like noticeable as a statement piece or the sweater or the dress separately. I just want to know why, if because we always seem to find a thread. So I want to find that thread of like why they chose those for those specific almost like confrontation scenes because she's going kind of in a confrontation with Dwight and Gary that same day, and she's gearing up for the phone tree day.
That's right. Both scenes are very confrontational. Does it have something to do with all that? So, Lily of the Valley, Convallaria Majalis. That's a pretty cool Latin name. It's sometimes written Lily of the Valley, and it is a woodland flowering plant with a sweetly scented pendant bell-shaped white flower. And they're born in sprays, I guess, like little clusters pop up from the ground in the spring. It is native throughout the cool, temperate northern hemisphere in Asia and in Europe. I guess that's why we don't really see it around here in the US,
They
maybe?
are native to us also, but I guess just nowhere south of the equator.
Other names include Maybelle's, Our Lady's Tears, Jacob's Ladder, and Mary's Tears. Its French name, how do you say that?
Muguet.
Mugue? Mugue? Mugue, meaning little musk. Sometimes appears in the names of perfumes imitating the flower scent. In pre-modern England, the plant was known as glovewort, as it was a wort used to create a salve for sore hands. Or Apollinaris, according to a legend that it was discovered by Apollo, which we'll touch on a little later on. The scientific name Majalis or Myalis means belonging to May. It is classified as part of the Asparagaceae family, like the asparagus?
Yes,
What?
ma'am.
Okay. All right. So yeah, it's related to the asparagus and technically not in the lily family at all. So it is the flower of May. I wonder, does asparagus flower or like pop up in May as well? Like, is it
I don't know about where you guys are. Ours comes up a little earlier, like
really?
end of March. March, April. Yeah, end of March it through April, and then it kind of is like done.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
All
earlier
right. Cool.
season veggie.
In 1560, the King of France, Charles IX, and his mother, Catherine de' Medici, visited the Drôme region. According to legend, a man named Louis de Gérard gave the king fresh lily of the valley blooms from his personal garden. King Charles adored the sweet scent of these blooms so much that he took them with him on all his outings from then on. He began offering lily of the valley to the ladies in his court during the spring when they started to bloom. This tradition spread throughout the country, and lily of the valley became a symbol of good luck throughout the country. That all well and good, but like every good story, there's always two sides.
Oh.
Another version of the story tells of Catherine de' Medici and and Louis. Legend has it, Catherine sent Louis on a secret mission. Upon his return, as a sign of his success, he gave a bouquet of Lily of the Valley to King Charles. Now, we're going to take you way back when, all the way to the 6th century. So let's set the scene, shall we? 6th century, a forest in West Sussex, England, the blood of French saint and martyr known as Saint Leonard. So Saint Leonard's valiant battle with a dragon, while ending in victory, it also ended with the French saint's blood spattering and seeping into the supple ground below. It's believed that God made White Lily of the Valley bloom sprout from the ground wherever the victorious saint's blood was shed. And to this very day, the floor of Saint Leonard's forest is thickly covered in these beautiful blooms.
Ooh. So that must be really pretty.
Yeah, but that's interesting that the blood made white flowers bloom.
Right.
Red flowers, you know?
Right?
Like roses.
Some plot holes with those folks who follow the saints.
Yeah.
Folklore.
Yeah, like why not roses, you know?
Yeah, or poppies.
Or poppies. Yeah. Or something red. Do you know if they're considered like a weed? Like, you know how like dandelions just pop up or like violets just pop up? Like they're a meadow flower, right?
I am not. Sure, I don't know if they can like reseed themselves, if they're invasive. We're gonna find out. Again, I've never seen one in the wild.
Me either. I'm just wondering if they're like a meadow flower. Like, do they pop up in clumps or like bushes? Like, not bushes. Like
clusters.
Clusters. Like, you know how crocuses just like pop up randomly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's find out. So Lily of the Valley grows well in shady environments and needs little attention after establishing, since these flowers spread through rhizomes. Okay, like iris or a daffodil. They can become invasive in specific areas. The Lily of the Valley thrives in the shade, so dividing them and planting the rhizomes around 6 inches apart should provide enough space to grow comfortably. Remember, these plants need more water in areas without rainfall. And they grow best in partial sunlight, probably like that nice dappled sunlight. These flowers will tolerate areas with direct morning sun but need protection from hotter afternoon climates. Full shade is best for growing Lily of the Valley in harsh summer conditions. They tolerate relatively any soil conditions as long as it has good drainage and is rich with organic material. And these flowers can grow in clay soil as well. They need more water when establishing, but after, the soil should remain moist and not soggy. Use your finger to tell if the soil is dry during extended drought periods or sweltering weather. Dry soil can hinder Lily of the Valley's growth, so just keep that in mind. Lily of the Valley grows best in the upper and middle south with mild conditions and average humidity, preferably between 60 and 70 degrees. In the lower south, Lily of the Valley needs full shade, moist, rich soil that does not dry out quickly. So they say upper middle south, so like probably like Virginia area, North Carolina area. I think like South Carolina, Georgia, Florida might be getting down there. Even in good temperature conditions, this plant does not do well in dry, hot climates and might die back during the hottest summer months. Additionally, it can become invasive when Lily of the Valley adapts well to its environment. And it doesn't require any specific fertilization if the soil contains rich organic material. And if the soil needs amending because it lacks nutrients, you can add slow-release fertilizers in the spring. And my go-to is always worm castings. I toss that shit in any like soil mixture I'm doing, and I'll just toss it on my garden and water it in. That stuff's amazing.
Cool. Yeah. Maybe I'll have to throw some of that into my phlox garden because, like I told you, my phlox didn't do shit this year. And I don't know if it had anything to do with the winter or like the snow in the winter pushing down the dirt. So, like, it pushed the dirt down past the root. So the roots have been exposed. So I guess they're just like not getting enough nutrients for them to have flowered. Like, they didn't die. Like, the greenery is still green. They just didn't flower. So I think they're just lacking in the nutrients because they're not getting the root. Aren't in the soil to get all those nutrients from the soil, I'm guessing.
Yeah, try the worm castings, and then they also sell like fish oils and stuff like that. You can just mix with your watering can. That work really well if you're trying to like go organic and not use like Miracle-Gro.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna try a couple things out. So let's talk about some uses of the Lily of the Valley. So in 1956, the French firm Dior produced a fragrance simulating Lily of the Valley, which was Christian Dior's favorite flower. Diorissimo. That's his actual name?
Cute.
Or I guess, oh no, that was the fragrance, I guess.
Oh.
Diorissimo was designed by Edmond Rudnitska. Although it has been since reformulated, it is considered a classic because no natural aromatic extract can be produced from Lily of the Valley. Its scent must be recreated synthetically. While D'Artissimo originally achieved this with hydroxycitronellol, the European Chemicals Agency now considers it a skin sensitizer and its use has been restricted. Other perfumes imitating or based on the flower include Henri Robert's Mugwe de Bois in 1936 and Penhaligon's Lily of the Valley in 1976 and Olivia Giacobetti's En Passant in 2000. There's a bit, I guess, a few different perfumes floating around throughout the years that have had this, I guess, synthetic recreation of this
Really?
flower because, like it says, no natural aromatic extract can be produced from this flower, which is weird, right?
Can you imagine having that sense of smell, being able to and then bloop, 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 replicate that shit
That's
with
like those
chemicals?
painters that you see on TikTok that can like color match things exactly. Like it's an art, right?
Amazing.
It is
That's
amazing.
insane.
That's right. So Catherine Middleton, by the way, what's going on with her? Have you like
I
she's
think she's missing.
she was missing, now
I
she's a
think.
sister. Like what the fuck's going on? I
I
don't
don't
know.
know. I can't say it out loud because, the Illuminati's gonna come behead me.
Listen, the only thing I will say is those royals are fucking batshit. That's all I'll say. They
Here,
are
here.
batshit. Crazy. So, Lily of the Valley has been used in weddings and off season can be very expensive. Lily of the Valley was featured in the bridal bouquet at the wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton. It was also the flower chosen by Princess Grace of Monaco to be featured in her bridal bouquet. I guess it's a royalty thing? Like, I don't know.
My question is, what would you want to be princess of? Because Monaco sounds pretty dope.
Yeah.
That sounds, or like Switzerland, or like Morocco. Like, where would you want to be princess of?
I don't know, like somewhere real or somewhere like fictional, like Middle Earth or something.
Oh, good one. Actually, that's a
Right?
really good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or what the fuck is it called? Where the Narnia, like someplace like
Oh,
that.
Princess of Narnia. Okay.
That'd be
All
fucking
right.
sick. Yeah.
Nerd.
Or the what was the place in the labyrinth? No, not the labyrinth. Never-ending Story.
Oh, the
What was
nothing? That's actually pretty dope. Princess of the Nothing.
it? Yeah, that is pretty metal. But wasn't there like a name for the empire?
Yeah, that was like at the top
Oh,
of that really flat,
yeah.
skinny place. I don't remember what it was.
I don't either. Yeah, something like that. So anyway,
Good
so at
talk.
the beginning, talk about a fucking side
Detour.
quest.
Two ADHD folks trying to have a conversation.
Woo! Good times. So, at the beginning of the 20th century, it became tradition in France to sell Lily of the Valley on International Labor Day, which is May 1st. It's also called Le Fête du Muguet or Lily of the Valley Day by labor organizations and private persons without paying sales tax on that day only as a symbol of spring.
So La Fête de Muguet is like the festival of
Okay.
this plant.
Got it. So it's aligned with Beltane, right?
It is. It's perfect.
There you go. So Lily of the Valley is worn in Helston, Cornwall, UK on Flora Day, May 8th each year. So also there's something called a furry dance representing the coming of the mayo and the summer. There is also a song that is sang in pubs around Cornwall and on Flora Day in Cadwith near Helston called Lily of the Valley. And the song strangely came from the Jubilee Singers from the Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee.
I got some neighbors now too. Can you hear them going up and down the road on the quad?
That's the thing about like the summertime, like all the assholes are out like riding their bullshit around and it's like that is
Shooting
so
off their firearms.
freaking loud. You're down south, so you probably get that all the time. In Jersey, we don't get people shooting shit
You want to hear the most fucking southern thing that happened this week? I came home 2 days ago, and my husband and his brother are walking around the yard, and I get closer. Aaron's holding a shotgun, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And he was like, "Oh, I went next door to do some plumbing work for the neighbor." And he was like, "Well, what do you want as payment?" He was like, nothing, it's fine." He was like, "You want a gun?" And Aaron was like, "Yeah." So we gave
What?
him a gun.
Okay, that just took bartering to a whole other level.
So crazy. Anyway.
Bananas.
Yeah, bananas. Okay.
He's back. You hear him? He's back.
Is it Eddie from Rocky Horror?
Yeah, that's what he sounds like. I'm like, they just like sit outside in the front and just like rev it. That's all they fucking do. Like, why? Freaking ride it somewhere.
I don't know. Maybe he needs warmed up. Sometimes mine needs warmed up. Maybe he's
He's
changing
been
the
driving
oil.
it around like, well, he's doing laps around the block, and then he comes back and sits in front of the house and revs it for like another 5 minutes, and then drives around the block again. Lily of the Valley has been used in jewelry, and we mentioned it was used in bridal bouquets, but it's also an inspiration for the sterling silver artisans and their designers for Lily of the Valley collections. So let's talk about a Lily of the Valley ring. So this ring, we have some pictures here. So if you guys want to check out our show notes, you guys can see how really they're very pretty.
They're
How
very
pretty.
pretty.
Yeah. And it looks like they're made of like, I don't know, maybe copper or something like, or not copper, some kind of malleable material that they can bend to
Yes.
fit around your finger. So this ring picture, it pictures a natural white crystal petal that surrounds a gold stigma, silver or gold stem that curls itself around your finger. It is ending with your preference, either with a flower bud, leaf, or a vine. And it is a unique design handcrafted by our artisans made of authentic sterling silver and natural white crystal. And this ring represents purity and beauty all at the same time. They also make earrings, which are also, they kind of match the ring design. And this says, this earring pictures a natural white crystal petal, which surrounds a gold stigma, a silver or gold stem that curls, ending with a leaf. As a stud, a beautiful handcrafted sterling silver jewelry of our artisans that symbolizes royalty and purity, an earring that will enhance your beauty and present your faithful personality. And they also make bangles, so basically like bracelets. And it says this bangle pictures a natural white crystal that surrounds, and it's all the same, gold stigma, silver, gold stem curls. It curls itself around your wrist. And this says a stunning handmade sterling silver jewelry that means the lady is wearing this bangle is pure and beautiful.
Oh, I like the bangle out of all of them. It
Bangle.
looks like it pops up on a few different, like it's on Lotus Fun, it's on AliExpress, Shein, Alibaba. You can find it all over the freaking place. Etsy has its own Apollo box. That's interesting because we're going to talk about Apollo a little bit later. Yeah, it's floating around. But yeah, I think the bracelet is what I would go for and out of those.
Yeah, and then they have one more thing. They have one more design, which is a Lily of the Valley brooch. So basically, a pin that you could put on your lapel or your dress or coat or shirt.
When was the last time you saw a person wearing a brooch? My mom wears them.
Okay, growing up, my mom had this like really pretty like jewelry. I guess what do they call like a jewelry standing chest? It's like a jewelry chest. They had like
Did it have
different
the
jewelry.
doors on it?
Yeah, it
And when
had
you
like.
open the doors, like all her necklaces would go clink, 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 clink. I
Yeah.
don't know.
So
Yeah.
it, you open the door, and on the door inside, it had the little hooks for the necklaces, and then it also had like multiple little drawers that you could open. And she had a whole collection of like brooches and
Yeah.
pins and hat pins. And like, she's got so many pins. I used to just like take them and wear them. And I just
That's
thought they were
fun.
so cute.
That's so fun. Man, you brought me back to my childhood with my mom still has that little dresser thing, that little
Yeah,
band, like a dress jewelry box thing, but
my
it's
mom
like
too.
big.
Yeah, it's like a standing, actually, it's like furniture piece.
Yes.
Yeah, so she would collect those in like the 80s and I guess 90s or whatever, and she's got a
So
whole
funny.
thing of them. I think a lot of them too, she probably like inherited from my grandmother, her mother, and her grandmother, which is my great grandmother. She inherited probably a lot of them too. So those are probably gonna be mine one day.
You're gonna rock them, but that's the like that is so your thing.
Yeah, I
All
love
that
them.
extra little glitz.
Yeah, they're very sparkly.
I'll let you take folk medicine. I'll do Texas, toxicity.
Toxicity.
Toxicity. All right. As we mentioned, this plant is toxic. I think most lilies are, even though it's not in the lily family. Maybe they gave it that name as like a flashing red flag, you know? So it says that all the parts of this innocent-looking flower are poisonous. The flower and red berries are toxic if eaten. I didn't know it had red berries.
Oh, okay.
Lily of the Valley contains cardiac glycosides, which are gastrointestinal irritants, which can prove harmful or fatal if ingested. And I think the fatal is more for like children and pets, not so much grown people. The lily of the valley contains several compounds that can affect the heart. It may be used in very small quantities in medication, which Justine is going to tell us about later, but ingested, the plant can lead to severe illness, cardiac distress, and even death. The root of the flower contains the most amount of poison, but poisoning cases are most often the result of children eating the berries. Some people may experience a rash or skin irritation from even touching the plant. I saw a source that said, wear gloves. Just wear gloves all the time anyway, outside doing gardening. You never know. So some cardiac symptoms, lily of the valley affects your heart and causing it to pump more slowly and forcefully. And lily of the valley poisoning symptoms of the heart include fainting, irregular heartbeat, or a slow heartbeat. Gastrointestinal symptoms caused by eating lily of the valley include diarrhea, excessive urination at night, loss of appetite, nausea, stomach pain, and vomiting. I'm wondering why they specified urination at night when your body is like, maybe because your heart is slowed down, maybe your blood pressure is lowered. I don't know. I'm not a
Maybe.
doctor.
It's like, when you're like sick or you have the flu, it's always worse at night. I guess
True.
because when you're sleeping or when your body is getting ready to go into that like restful mode, it works the hardest at fighting illness, fighting bacteria, disease, whatever, infection,
So
fighting
it's trying to
infection.
like expel that
Maybe.
infection.
That's what I'm guessing.
We're so smart.
Context clues. I don't know. I'm no doctor. Consult a doctor.
Consult our disclaimer. Lily of the Valley also affects the nervous system. If you eat Lily of the Valley, you may experience confusion, depression, disorientation, drowsiness, lethargy, headache, or overall weakness. It can impact your vision and lead to symptoms such as blurry vision or seeing halos around objects. Again, like depression, loss of appetite, the halos in your vision are usually only present in cases of chronic overdose. Some skin symptoms, touching lily of the valley, can lead to some skin irritations, and they can cause bumps, blisters, itching, red rashes or patches, and even swelling. So, because lily of the valley is so toxic, poison control will most likely recommend that you visit the hospital for medical care. If, like, say your dog eats it or your baby eats it, I don't know why you would just go picking these berries, but this is what they would have you do. At the hospital, your care team will monitor your vital signs like breathing, blood pressure, and heart rate. Lily of the valley poisoning treatment may include activated charcoal. We had another plant.
Yeah,
Was it Jimson weed?
I don't remember what it
I
was.
don't either.
Maybe.
Podcast brain.
Yeah.
So the activated charcoal absorbs the poison. Also, really good for like gassy bellies, the burbly bellies. And they'll probably give you medications to push the poison through your digestive system, intravenous fluids, and/or medications to counteract some of the poisonous compounds. You may also be given medications to reduce the symptoms of lily of the valley poisoning, such as irregular heartbeat. Symptoms of lily of the valley poisoning usually last from 1 to 3 days, and you may need to stay in the hospital during that time with proper medical care. And death is unlikely unless you're very small and you're probably taking like high quantities of this red berry or the root, right? They said the root is usually the highest concentration of poison. So anyway, just to handle this plant safely, wear gloves, don't eat it, wash your hands thoroughly after touching it if you do come in contact with it. And it actually does contain compounds that can be used medically. One compound is convalotoxin, and it can be used to help treat certain heart problems. Most convalotoxins used in medication is made in a lab, though, and not from the plant. But this was used at one time, I guess, for certain things, and Justine is going to take us down the folk medicine history road.
All right, let's go down that rabbit hole. So, again, we are just the messengers. Consult your doctors and our disclaimer before using any herbal remedies. The plant has been used in folk medicine for centuries, and there is a reference to Lily of the Valley water in Robert Louis Stevenson's 1886 novel Kidnapped, where it is said to be, quote, good against the gout, and that it comforts the heart and strengthens the memory and restores speech to those that have the dumb palsy. That's their wording, not mine.
Yes, this is in quotes.
So there is no scientific evidence that Lily of the Valley has any effective medicinal uses for treating human diseases. It was also significant during World War I, where it was used to combat gas poisoning. It was used in attempts to also cure epilepsy, heart disorders, and skin burns. In Western herbal medicine and homeopathy, Lily of the Valley or Convallaria majalis is applied for ailments of the heart, specifically for weak heartbeats and heart failure. However, dose matters as this seemingly sweet plant can be very toxic to the heart in larger doses, so this medicine is carefully regulated and should only be administered by a trained medical herbalist. The glycosides in Lily of the Valley are akin to those seen in foxgloves, however, they are milder. So I don't know if it's something about that bell-shaped, because like
Right.
foxgloves are very poisonous too, so I don't
Yeah.
know.
And like trumpet flowers.
Right.
And yeah, Jimson weed also had that kind of flower. My question is, because they said specifically for weak heartbeats and heart failure, but we just read that it can slow that your heartbeat down. So they were just kind of throwing shit at the wall and see what stuck, right?
Right, yeah. It's like that seems like what they used to do back then because like they didn't know any better. They're just it's trial and error, and now we have modern medicine because of all the people who were testing shit back then, right? All
Let's
right.
make some thorn apple salad.
Thorn apple salad? Oh yeah, that's right. The Jimson weed, like they all just like shat their pants, right?
Just trip balls for what? Was it like 3 days?
Couple days. Yeah, that's guys, go listen to our thorn apple episode. That shit was bananas.
That's a good episode.
So in Eastern herbal medicine, lily of the valley or ling lan is also used to strengthen and support the heart as well as promote urination. Oh, because it's a diuretic. And also prevents infection. It is mentioned that medicine from Lily of the Valley will soften any deposits that disrupt arteries, joints, and muscles. Lily of the Valley was also traditionally used to support the brain. Nicholas Culpepper, that guy again,
Our boy.
English botanist and herbalist, mentions that it can help with memory, and when distilled in wine, it can restore speech. All parts of the flowering Lily of the Valley plant are medicinal, however, the rhizome, root and dried flowers are the parts most frequently made into medicine. It is often prescribed with other heart-supporting herbs such as hawthorn and motherwort. The berries of the lily of the valley are toxic even in small doses, so please leave them be. It's kind of like the what's that berry that I was telling you I made the ink from?
Poke
The
bit.
pokeberry, yeah.
Okay.
Pokeberry. Pokeberries are also very poisonous, like the seeds,
Yeah.
very poisonous. So
We're just gonna dip right into folklore because this was so heavily tied. It's such a little fey flower to me.
yeah.
So we're just gonna dive right into the folklore right now. And there's a lot. This plant is ruled by air, the element of air. This delicate little blossom is said to foster communication, phone tree day, improve memory, and promote peace and mental stability. So that
Right.
could be directing toward her meetings and Gary and Dwight, as far as Sally's outfit is concerned. But for modern witches, the Lily of the Valley can be a valuable ally in spell work and ritual. Its sweet floral fragrance can help to alleviate the mind and open the pathways to higher consciousness. It is also said to attract fairies and other ethereal beings, making it a perfect addition to any fairy garden or altar. So at the beginning of the 20th century, Justina told us about the French and it being sold on May 1st as a symbol of the spring season or for La Fête de Muguet. Lily of the Valleys were gifted all over to loved ones, and I think I also saw like as a symbol of like we're gonna have a good harvest season. So blooming this time of the year, it makes a traditional appearance on Beltane altars and as offerings. It's actually the national flower of Finland. We're gonna talk more about Finland lore later on. It's a symbol of purity, joy, love, serenity, happiness, motherhood, luck, and sincerity. Interesting that motherhood was thrown in there. This stems from their bell-like shape. Many believe that these little bells can call in good spirits or deliver good fortune to those who receive them. Some even believe these blooms can communicate with the outside world. Spooky! For this reason, many people use to keep these blooms in their homes to get rid of any bad vibes. In some cases, the lily of the valley can symbolize sadness or pain due to loss or death, which is why you may see these blooms often featured in funeral arrangements. So we're gonna do a quick stop in Finland. Justina, can you take this little part? Because this is really fascinating, but it's got a bunch of big words.
A lot of words. Thanks.
It's
Okay.
got a lot of words.
A lot of words. Okay, guys, ready for some words? So, this is Kielo, Lily of the Valley in Finland, element water and air, and ruled by planets Mercury and the Moon. And that kind of makes sense because Mercury, as we know, Mercury is the planet of communication. That's when why we go into Mercury retrograde. Everything's fucking nuts, and you can't send messages, you can't send files, like everything's just friggin' bananas. And that's all 'cause of Mercury and its, I guess, air communication correspondence. So for those of you who do not speak Finnish, the Finnish language does not include prepositions such as in, the, or on, which can make these flower name translations sound a bit strange for those who are not used to it. Yeah, so Lily of the Valley protects the spellcaster from the evil eye and keeps unwanted suitors away. In the language of flowers, the Lily of the Valley represents happiness and abundance. Be careful when picking them. Lily of the Valley is a poisonous, though very pretty flower. So the Finnish name of the flower, kielo, refers to the tongue-shaped leaves, the kieli tongue. Other nicknames for kielo are, lemonkieli, cow's tongue, lemonkieli heina, cow's tongue, hay, kieli heina, tongue hay, koronkieli, dog's tongue, and...
Oh my God. Fuck you. That's like a
20-letter word.
You're doing great.
All right. Lemonkieli kuka, cow's tongue flower. Perfect. Is that right? Okay.
Beautiful.
Cows did not eat lilies because they were and are poisonous, but cows were very important animals in the past and they were sacred animals of women. The Old Farmer's Almanac and other sources of folklore indicate that the Lily of the Valley is associated with many meanings based on many cultures and time periods. People of the 1800s Victorian era believed that Lily of the Valley meant a, quote, return to happiness. Learning and understanding special symbolism for flowers was a popular pastime in the Victorian era. Nearly all Victorian homes had, alongside the Bible, guidebooks for interpreting this unspoken language. So there is a language little known. Lovers claim it as their own. Its symbols smile upon the land, wrought by nature's wondrous hand, and in their silent beauty speak of life and joy to those who seek. For love divine and sunny hours in the language of the flowers. And that is from The Language of the Flowers, as published in London, 1875. The Victoria era was only one of many eras that spoke with flowers. Over the centuries, the Lily of the Valley has developed many meanings. According to ancient astrology, this flower was under the protection of the son of the goddess Maia. For the Greeks, this god was Hermes, and for the Romans, it was Mercury. Another legend tells of the Lily of the Valley, who fell in love with a nightingale's song, so it bloomed only when the bird returned to the woods in May.
Aww.
Beyond the altar, Lily of the Valley has a rep for being the go-to messenger of romance and friendship. So keep that messenger name in mind for later. Gifting these flowers is like handing over a living, breathing Valentine's Day card. And they're not just plants, they're emotional conduits, saying everything from you're the bee's knees to let's grow old together.
Oh.
Yeah. The fragrant white flowers have been associated with motherhood, chastity, and sweetness. In Germanic mythology, Lily of the Valley flowers have been associated with the humility and purity of the virgin goddess Ostara. In Christian legend, Eve's tears turn into lilies of the valley as she was expelled from the Garden of Eden. The flower is also seen as a sign of Christ's second coming and is mentioned 15 times in the Bible.
Yeah, I also saw 11 times, but we all know how it goes with the Bible.
Yeah, most often in the Song of Solomon. Many also use the Lily of the Valley to represent humility and the purity of Jesus Christ, and those in Romania share these beliefs to some extent. The Lily of the Valley is a common symbol of tears in Romanian culture. This belief stems from an old story of a girl who lost her parents and was sent to an orphanage. Sad and distraught, the girl cried at her parents' graves. Later on, Lily of the Valley started to grow where her tears met the ground.
It's connected a lot with tears, and then one instance with saints' blood.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
Very interesting, yeah. So there are some common myths about the Lily of the Valley. So the name Lily of the Valley, like its correspondences in some other European languages, is apparently a reference to the phrase Lily of the Valleys, sometimes also translated as Lily of the Valley. In Song of Songs 2:1, I guess, is that a Bible verse?
Yep.
Maybe European herbalists, their use of the phrase referred to specific plant species, and it seems to have appeared relatively late in the 16th century or 15th century. The Neo-Latin term convallaria, coined by Carl Linnaeus, and for example, the Swedish name, you want to read that?
Huh. Lilia convallia? I don't know. I don't speak Swedish.
I don't know. You're good at those.
You were hitting that Finland stuff earlier.
You're good with the J stuff, like all that Slavic language. Like you're
Swedish. Sweden is not in.
Well, I see J's there. J's are very prominent in like the Slavic language, right? Like the J's, pronouncing the J's like the Y's and
Yeah, but I
all.
don't know what it's how it's pronounced in Swedish.
Lijekonvalj. Yeah, derives from the corresponding phrase lilum convallium in the Vulgate. So like most flower meanings, we simply have to dive into some Greek mythology. It's unavoidable at this point. Legend has it, the sun god Apollo was growing lily of the valley blooms along a passage to the woods. It was believed that the flowers protected the delicate feet of Apollo's nine muses while they walked through the forest. Because of this, lily of the valley also symbolizes delicacy and kindness. In other Greek mythology, the lily of the valley is associated with the goddess Artemis, who is said to have created the flower from the tears of the nymph Echo. And Artemis, isn't that wormwood? Artemisia vulgaris, or
Wormwood.
not wormwood, mugwort, mugwort spice. Mugwort spice.
Also talked about Echo quite recently also because we were like she had to say her what she heard over and over. She couldn't say anything else and we were like, "Oh, like an Echo."
Was that the daffodil episode? I don't remember what
It
episode.
might have been because we were talking about Asphodel and yeah, the underworld. Could have been.
So based on other ancient astrology, the flower was under the protection of the sun goddess Maia, which we mentioned before. The sun in Greek mythology is Hermes, and in Roman it's Mercury, which makes sense if we're talking about May and Gemini, because Gemini is ruled by Mercury.
So I think we have talked about Magpie's Corner before on here. I can't remember what, but this was titled, it was through Facebook. It was titled East Slavic Rituals, Witchcraft, and Culture. This is what Magpie's Corner had to say. So Slavic cunning men used Lily of the Valley in spells to preserve young girls' beauty. Young girls rubbed its roots on their cheeks to become blushy, which is probably like irritating. Like, isn't the
Yeah.
root the most poisonous part? So you're just giving yourself a chemical burn.
They're just poisoning themselves in essence just to look, quote, more beautiful.
I mean, we do still today, but we put botulism in our faces.
Yeah,
Yeah.
got a point.
Its leaves were used as Easter egg colorants for the green. Tinctures of Lily of the Valley, often combined with valerian, motherwort, and hawthorn, help treat heart disease. Water distilled with Lily of the Valley flowers is very useful in eye diseases. It is used just like rose water and applied to the eyes. Potions made from Lily of the Valley were used to treat epilepsy, eye drops, remove drowsiness. An infusion of a certain kind of Lily of the Valley called Solomon's Seal is good for face wash. And that's interesting because we read that it's mentioned so many times in the Bible, most frequently in the Solomon's story part. In Slavic legends, Lily of the Valley has been associated with women's tears spilling out of love. A Christian legend tells of Mother Mary crying about her deceased son, Jesus. Where her tears fell, Lily of the Valley grew. Ukrainians believe that these flowers grew where a girl spilled her tears crying about her love not returning from a distant journey. According to an ancient Russian legend, no one other than Sadko, the legendary merchant and skillful musician, became the reason of Lily of the Valley's appearance. Water Princess Volkova or Volkhava fell in love with Sadko, but he gave his heart to Lubova, daughter of the forests and fields. Sad Volkova came out on land and started crying, and her tears turned into Lily of the Valleys. Again, tears, a symbol of pure and unrequited love. Lily of the Valley is a charm of loyalty and purity, but in the wrong hands, it may be used to make two people split up. According to a legend, aroma of Lily of the Valley flowers collected, purchased, and given on a new moon awakens lust in a woman, making them easily seduced. If collected on a morning of a full moon, on the opposite, it aids in high romantic love and makes loss of virginity less painful. It is believed that a man becomes gentler and a woman becomes more passionate if they place a bouquet of Lily of the Valley collected on a waxing moon near their bed. An old pre-Reformed Christian legend tells that God originally wanted to breathe life into Virgin Mary so that she would conceive. But the devil recommended, okay, oh shit, where'd the devil come from? But
What?
the devil recommended him, I guess God, to hide a sprig of basil and lily of the valley under his clothes overnight and in the morning give it to the Holy Virgin. And God followed this advice. So he did the little sneaky sneak. And then the angel had to come and be like, "You're pregnant." And she's like, "The fuck?"
The angel was like Jerry Springer. He was like,
Yeah.
"God, you are not the father."
From this legend, we could see that sprigs of basil and lily of the valley kept at the body overnight were believed to help the couple conceive. Crowns of lily of the valley and forget-me-nots adorned heads for those celebrating Trinity and Whitsuntide. Whitsun or Whitsunday is the name used in Britain and other countries among Anglicans and Methodists for the Christian holy days of Pentecost. It falls on the seventh Sunday after Easter and commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Christ's disciples as described in Acts 2. In England, it took on some characteristics of Beltane, which originated from the pagan celebration of Summer's Day and the beginning of summer's half of the year in Europe. Lily of the Valley berries, if used by a poorly trained or newbie sorcerer, may make him the victim of otherworldly creatures desiring to take over one's will. Experienced cunning man or woman may use them for contact with the spirit world. Seeing Lily of the Valley in dreams means innocence of your partner in any relationship. You ever have those dreams where your husband's like cheated on you and you wake up and you're pissed all day?
Yeah. You're mad at him. He's like, what did I do?
And you're like, what you did.
And you're like, you trifling in my sleep.
You be tripping, boo. Dreaming of a dry lily of the valley means that you demand too much of life and people, and this causes you to become irritable and frustrated. In magic, lily of the valley is also recommended to those seeking to improve memory and intellectual abilities. Lily of the valley obtained on May 1st brings happiness to one keeping it. In spellcraft, lily of the valley becomes a charm for good luck, happiness, and success. A folk name of lily of the valley is molodilo, youth herb. It is best collected at sunrise after dew dries out around the full moon, although the moon phase here varies depending on your magical goal. June 1st is a traditional day to harvest Lily of the Valley flowers. Leaves are collected before the plant starts blooming. Lily of the Valley is a sacred plant of Jiva. This plant is poisonous and should not be ingested without proper knowledge. This says sincerely yours, Magpie, aka Olga Stanton. I want to learn about Jiva. I've never heard of her. And by the way, I just bought a Slavic folklore book, which I can't wait to rip into. So maybe she's in there.
Interesting. Before we touch on that, I wanted to go back to the mention of the forget-me-nots, because earlier when you were reading this, it was saying that the Lily of the Valley had a lot to do with tears, and that part where the water princess started crying and her tears turned into Lily of the Valley because of unrequited love. It made me think of the forget-me-nots, and then you actually read the forget-me-not, and I was like, what was that legend that I was thinking of? So the legend of the forget-me-not comes from a medieval story about a knight who died trying to pick flowers for his lover. While walking along the river with his lady, the knight bent down to pick a blue flower, but his armor made him lose his balance, and he fell into the water.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And before he drowned, he threw the flower to his lady and shouted, forget-me-not.
Oh my god.
How the flower got its name.
That is so dark.
Isn't it? Wow. So like, Lily of the Valleys and forget-me-nots, they're kind of like, they're a little emo.
Yeah, they are a little emo.
Little emo flowers. Anyway.
Who knew?
Okay, so Jiva, the origins and history. So this is a Slavic goddess?
Yes, I wanted to talk about this because the writer of Magpie wrote that Lily of the Valley is sacred to Jiva. And I was like, who's that? So I went down that little hole.
Rabbit hole. Okay, so they trace back to ancient Slavic cultures where she emerged as a revered deity associated with life, fertility, and the natural world. Through the ages, her worship evolved, adapting to various regional and cultural nuances. Understanding the historical context surrounding Jiva provides valuable insights into her mythological development. So some of the roles and symbolism of Jiva in Slavic mythology. She embodies a multitude of roles and symbolic representations within Slavic mythology. Known as the goddess of life, she presides over the cycle of birth, growth, and renewal. Additionally, Jiva symbolizes fertility, abundance, and the nurturing aspects of nature. Her depiction often intertwines with mythical creatures, celestial bodies, and natural elements, underscoring her connections to the divine and the earthly realm. Green, representing fertility and growth, is another significant color associated with Jiva, emphasizing her connection with the earth and the emergence of life. These colors, when used in rituals and artistic representation, further enhance the spiritual significance of Jiva and evoke a sense of renewal and vitality.
That's interesting because used as a dye, it will give that green color. We learned a little earlier. That's cool.
Yeah. And it also reminds me, it goes back to the outfit that Sally was wearing in her Verbena apothecary shop. Very green, very earthy. Definitely gives me those Sally vibes. So, throughout history, artists have sought to capture the essence of Jiva in various forms of artistic expression. Sculptures carved in her honor embody her grace and serve as tangible reminders of her power. These artistic representations and icons provide a visual medium through which individuals can connect with the spiritual energy embodied by Jiva. Understanding these visual aids in comprehending the encompassing power and significance of the Slavic goddess of life. Honoring the Slavic goddess Jiva entails a rich tapestry of worship, traditions, and beliefs that have been passed down through generations. So, before we move on from our myths here, Christina stumbled across another Slavic tale in which the writer was just on fire.
This guy, this is word for word. This is Biomund Authority on the Wattpad.com.
Okay.
I was just giggling throughout this whole thing, so go ahead.
God, okay. Do we need music behind this?
Sure.
So Nov, the Slavic version of heaven, was the venue for the wedding of Perun, chief god of war, and Dodola, goddess of rain. Aw, but sadly, there's always a party pooper. The Greek had Eris, the Norse had Loki, and the Slavs had Veles. Now Veles is an ass in his own right. Right? He stole some cows, locked away in rain, but we'll go into more details about him later. Veles was envious of the pair. Veles also liked Dodola, but Perun married her. So he was like, if I can't have her, no one can. So Dodola went for a walk, and along the way she watered, whatever the fuck that means. So Veles followed her and tricked her into sniffing a lily flower. She gave birth to Yarilo as she lost consciousness. Though they never really specify whether or not she's okay. And we're going to assume that she is okay because of what happened next. So Veles also kidnaps Yarilo to raise him as his own. Perun finds out and is like, fight me, Veles. That
I
sounds
love
like
when
some.
myths are told this way.
It's just like so nonchalantly, like you're recalling like a fight you saw at school or something.
Come at me.
Come at me, bro. Yeah, so Perun was like, come at me, bro. And then Veles and Perun then proceed to fight. And this fight lasted like 3 days and 3 nights.
Are you gonna say it like you're spilling tea?
Yeah, basically. Like I was at some like frat house party, and
Right.
these fucking Chads
Right.
just worked it out for 3 fucking days and 3 fucking nights.
Damn.
Perun won, and yeah, so Perun wins and brings, I guess he brings Veles to be judged. So instead of killing him so this kind of shit doesn't happen again, they banish him from the heavens to live in the underworld. So the Lily of the Valley has the flower meaning. It means humility, chastity, sweetness, and purity, and it is also said to bring luck and love. And the irony of it is, it also means the return of happiness, which is the reason why it is often used as decorations in a wedding. And it's sort of like the whole mistletoe thing, like pretty but dangerous.
Yeah, they're like Balder is a god in Norse mythology, and he was gifted by, I don't know the legend, but he could not die, but there was one thing that could kill him, and it was mistletoe. And Loki, the motherfucking ass, tricks somebody into shooting Balder with a mistletoe like dabbed arrow, and he dies.
Dude.
Pretty but dangerous.
Gods and goddesses are fucking savage.
Savage.
They are so savage.
We're
Yeah.
gonna dip our toe into a little spell work. This is from Llewellyn, and this is a Lily of the Valley spell for good luck. So, buy a small handful of Lily of the Valley and place in a vase or buy a small pot of the plant and then plant it outside in the garden after it has bloomed. Taking your bunch or pot of Lily of the Valley in both hands, lean in close to it and whisper to the flower, little flower of spring, good luck this year, please bring leaves of green, bells of white. Make sure everything is good and right. Meditate on the flowers for a while and then take them through every room of your house. If you work from home, keep the flowers on your desk where you can always see them throughout the workday, occasionally touching them to reactivate their scent and good luck. And go buy a lottery ticket on a Thursday and place it under the vase or pot. So
Oh
that's
shit.
the thing. And then another little spell work from the eclecticwitchcraft.com says it's used to improve memory and mental clarity. So you can place a bouquet of fresh lily of the valley on your altar or in a sacred space. As you meditate, focus on the sweet floral fragrance of the flower and visualize a bright, clear mind. Secondly, it can foster communication and understanding. Again, Gemini, Mercury, Hermes. You can create a charm or talisman using the leaves of the flower of lily of the valley. Carry the charm with you or place it near a door or window to invite positive energy and communication into your home or workspace. And thirdly, they say it can attract love to you and heal a broken heart. Can love travel back in time and heal a broken heart?
I'm surprised more Lily of the Valley was not used in that movie.
Right. So it continues and it says, create a love potion using the essence of Lily of the Valley. Mix the essential oil of the flower with rose water and a few drops of vanilla extract and add the mixture to a spray bottle. Spray the potion around the home, focusing on your intent to attract love or heal your heart. So if you are planning on working with Lily of the Valley and you work with some deities, these are some deities that would probably appreciate Lily of the Valley as an offering. And we touched on some of these already, but just to reiterate, so we talked about Artemis, and she is the goddess of the hunt, the moon, the wilderness. And of course, we said that Lily of the Valley is connected with the moon. She is said to have created the Lily of the Valley from the tears of the nymph Echo and may appreciate offerings of the flower as a symbol of purity and innocence. I don't work with Greek gods, but to give Artemis a Lily of the Valley flower when she has harmed, hurt, gone against this Echo nymph, that would be like, look what you did. Look what you did. In my opinion, I would not use that. But to each their own. I don't work with Greek gods. So you can, Apollo, we mentioned in Greek mythology, Apollo is the god of the sun, music, prophecy. He is associated with the element of air and may enjoy offerings of Lily of the Valley as a symbol of communication and mental clarity. Mercury in Roman mythology is the god of commerce, communication, and travel. He is associated with the zodiac Gemini and may enjoy offerings of the Lily of the Valley as a symbol of youth, innocence, and purity of heart. And just to rope in some Beltane gods and goddesses to mention here, Aphrodite, Arianrhod, Astarte, Venus, Diana, Ariel, Var, Skadi, Shelanagog,
Yelling
a gig, Cybele, Freya, and Rhiannon. And
a
some gods include Bacchus, Bel, Belonos, Chernanos, Pan, Hern, Faunus, Cupid, Eros, Odin, Orion, Frey, Robin, Goodfellow. So like Robin Hood? Is
don't
that him? No, Sherwood, Puck,
know.
and the Great Horned God.
Oh, Puck was the one from Midsummer Night's Dream, right? Oh, did you have anything on Lily of the Valley and Dreams? Did you have something from
Because I can't find my. Oh, here it is. Bracidia Orion.
Bracidia, good old Bracidia
It
Ryan.
was holding up my mic. Lily of the Valley.
Lizard of the Valley.
Lily of the Valley in dreams, according to Bracidia Orion, the ultimate dictionary of dream language. She says, you will receive some unusual offers from someone you least expect within 3 days.
Okay. More to the point. All right. So I found a couple bits on pop culture. We mentioned before you mentioned some fun facts and you mentioned the Queen song. So I did find a little bit more on that. So Lily of the Valley is a song by the British rock band Queen. It was written by a lead singer, Freddie Mercury, who also plays the piano and provides all the vocals on the track. It was originally featured on Queen's third album, Sheer Heart Attack, released in 1974, and is one of the album's few ballads. The lyrics refer back to a song from a previous album, Seven Seas of Rye, from Queen 2, with the line, quote, Messenger from Seven Seas has flown to tell the King of Rye he's lost his throne, end quote. In a 1999 interview, Brian May told the British music magazine Mojo that Freddie's stuff was so heavily cloaked lyrically, but you could find out just from a little insight that a lot of his private thoughts were in there, although a lot of the more meaningful stuff was not very accessible. Lily of the Valley was utterly heartfelt. It's about looking at his girlfriend and realizing that his body needed to be somewhere else. It's a great piece of art, but it's the last song that would ever be a hit, end quote.
Wow. If I recall, this song doesn't sound like a Queen song
No.
to me.
I don't
You'll
even know
have to
this
listen
song.
to it. It's very like folky.
Okay.
That's really sad. It's almost in
It
that
is.
unrequited love vein.
Emo.
Emo.
Was Freddie Mercury the original emo? I'm gonna check that out. I never heard the song before. I couldn't even tell you what it sounded like, but I'm intrigued. I want to go listen to it now and see what it's all about. And the only other pop culture reference that I pulled out here was from Breaking Bad. So I don't know if you ever watched Breaking Bad. Freaking amazing show.
I hear good things.
Watch it. Definitely, it's awesome. So when Walter White, who is played by Bryan Cranston, was contemplating how he was going to topple the drug kingpin Gustavo Fring, he noticed the potted lilies in his backyard in the episode End Times. Brock Cantillo was poisoned by Walt in an unknown way with the Lily of the Valley berry. The doctors initially thought Brock was poisoned by ricin, as Jesse Pinkman had suggested, but later discovered the true toxin. The doctors and Jesse believe that Brock came across the flower growing naturally and ate some poisoned berries. And that's in the episode Face Off. And after returning home from successfully getting Hector Salamanca to kill Gus and getting Jesse back on his side, Walt disposed of the lily plant from his backyard in the episode Live Free or Die.
I love that.
So,
That's cool.
interesting, right? Yeah, very, very cool. Great show. You gotta watch that show.
I hear a lot of people say that. We haven't dove into it, and actually, I think
Yeah.
my brother-in-law was telling me about it, and he didn't know Walter White was a real person. He's still alive.
Really?
Yeah.
Not no idea.
That
I've seen that the entire series probably a few times through, because it's like sometimes I just get in the mood to watch it again because
Wow.
the storytelling is just so good, and Bryan Cranston is great in that role.
I just think of him as Malcolm's dad.
I always forget. I never really like watched Malcolm in the Middle, but yeah, I always forget that he was on that show. Yeah, but great show. Give it a watch if you haven't already. All right, so we have some products from Auntie Laura over at Enchanted Journal, and she's got an entire Lily of the Valley collection, and it kind of matches the print that Sally had on her cardigan and her dress in
I
that
think
scene.
it's pretty solidly
It's
identical.
solid, right? Yeah.
Beautiful.
She do that. So she's got a tumbler here. This was inspired by the Lily of the Valley print on Sally's dress and the sweater in the Practical Magic movie. And is this her quote here? She says, "I wish I could make you the dress, but I'm afraid the cup will have to do." And we have the iconic quote on the cup. It says, "Always throw spilled salt over your shoulder. Keep rosemary by your garden gate. Plant lavender for luck. Fall in love whenever you can." And she didn't put this on here, but I'm just gonna say, don't eat Lily of the Valley because it will kill you. And that appears along with the floral pattern. So this robust tumbler lets you sport Sally's botanical vibe everywhere you go. The mug holds 20 ounces of magical liquid and will keep your potion hot or cold, making it a year-round must-have. And it's made of stainless steel.
I would love to have this mug and be out and about and somebody recognize that pattern because it's such a under the radar little minute detail in the whole movie. But to
Yeah.
me, it sticks out because that's such a stunning outfit.
Yes.
I love that. I love it.
Right. And then she's got one more thing on here with that same print, and that is a throw pillow. So it's like, little square,
8x8 or something.
green background, and then white square in the middle, and the white square in the middle has got that Lily of the Valley print within that little square. And then around that square, it's also that same quote: "Always throw spilled salt all over your shoulder. Keep rosemary by your garden gate. Plant lavender for luck. Fall in love whenever you can."
It says that the other side is the same pattern, but without the quote. So you have both options if you don't want to have any wording in your living room or on your decor. So that's cool.
Yeah,
Yeah.
cute. Very,
Auntie
very
Laura,
cute.
you got beautiful stuff. Learning what we just learned, I'm thinking it was kind of like a little protection, like chain mail, like going into these kind of heavier situations. She didn't know Gary was going to show up that day, but it seems like she came into that shop knowing shit was going to go down. She was kind of already ready for Dwight. Like, what is it, Dwight? She was at her wit's end at 9 in the morning. She didn't even have her coffee yet, and Dwight is up her ass.
Yeah, and then she had to deal with Gary on top of that, snooping around the town, asking people random shit. Who knows what the, nosy townsfolk is blowing smoke up his ass, and who knows what they were telling him.
She's just so earthy. Like, I'm not surprised they put a botanical print on her.
The unrequited love connection is interesting because of that spell, the Amas Fedita spell that she did, knowing that it attracted Gary. Well, we don't really know at that point in the story, but we kind of get a little inkling. But that unrequited love, it didn't happen with Michael, but the day that she wore that Lily of the Valley print, the Lily of the Valley print on her sweater, on her dress. I don't remember which scene he popped in the shop. Was it the sweater or was it the dress that she was wearing?
The dress.
It was the dress. So yeah, maybe that was in essence a way of like attracting him on that day because she was wearing that symbol of unrequited love and he just happened to float on into her shop and fell right into her lap.
Didn't it also say that, like, we just read this, but it's just like podcast brain hits, that it's also a symbol of like the unexpected? As far as Jillian showing up to phone tree day, and as far as Gary showing up to work and getting himself invited to breakfast,
True.
unexpected
Yeah.
situations.
And also interesting, I'm wondering, was Mercury in retrograde at that point in the story? Because if it was in retrograde, the kind of mixed communications of things, like things getting misconstrued, like rumors flying around, Gary getting the wrong kind of information, like, you know what I'm saying? You know what you're picking up what I'm putting down?
I'm looking up if it was. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Calendar dates. This is okay, we're looking at March 7th, right? 1998.
Yeah.
Because that's the day before. It was not. It went into retrograde on the 27th, though.
Interesting. Of
It's
March?
yes.
Okay. Yeah, that is interesting. Okay, so then it was direct.
So funny. What a good like
Yeah.
thought-provoking thing to ask. That's cool.
Right? Yeah, like just curious because since we know now, knowing what we know about how it's that the plant of communication and it's ruled by Mercury, I was just wondering if things somehow, like the communication between Gary and the townspeople and Sally and like all these rumors flying around, had anything to do with the presence of that on her. Like what is the symbolism of that plant on her clothing in that scene?
Right.
Now my wheels are turning. Thanks.
And then
Can't.
that could very much be like maybe I'm sure she was up on her calendar of retrograde, but maybe she's like, I know I'm gonna have to deal with these people and talk and talk. I gotta go to work and I gotta be personable and I gotta talk. So maybe she was just feeling it out and giving herself an extra sense of the gift of gab that day.
Yeah. Interesting. That definitely thought-provoking. And
This is a little shorty one, but she's that outfit is so cute.
is very cute.
So beautiful.
So we're not gonna have a break in this one then.
I don't
So
think
we're
so.
card pull. All right, that's fine.
I mean, we can do one anyway. We don't have to have a break for one.
Do you wanna? Should we
I
do?
would love a card pull.
Should we read the air element?
Yeah, that would be
Okay.
nice.
This card, the keyword on here is state of mind, and it's that pretty. The elemental symbol with the triangle with the line through it. So this says the element of air invites you to look into your thoughts. Take notice of your state of mind and don't allow your worries to get the best of you. Inspired from the Tarot Suit of Swords, air delivers its message with a sharp edge. With air comes movement and change. It is time to free your thoughts and open up your mind to possibilities. It's all about how we perceive things. Be sure that you are in the right state of mind to make any decisions coming your way. When air comes into a reading, take a moment to analyze your thought patterns and communications. Use feathers and incense to better connect with this element and the energy of this card itself. And the mantra on this card is, I ride freely with the air.
Definitely Phone Tree Day was like the shaking, the stirring of the air of change. And talking to Gary day before breakfast, that was like the little catalyst of like, oh, they didn't know it, but I was like, oh shit, this is about to rock everybody's world.
Yeah, if Jillian coming to town wasn't a shitstorm in and of itself, Gary just like tipped that scale
With a
over the
pancake breakfast.
with the pancake breakfast. And yeah, Jillian going to that phone tree, getting the townsfolk all riled up. Yeah, it was all one big shitstorm.
Well, that's all we have for you today. If you would like to support our podcast, here's how you can do that.
Just a reminder, you can check out all of the sources pertaining to today's episode via our hero page. The link is in our show notes. And thanks again to our patron and Palmiers for creating this app and keeping creators like us organized. If you guys do want to support the podcast on Patreon, you can support us for as little as $1 a month. That's our seedling tier, and that gets you access to our patron-only polls where you get to weigh in on what topics you would like us to talk about next. It also gets you our monthly calendar so you can see what topics we have coming up for the month, and it also gets you a welcome shout out on the show. Our $3 Lavender Bud tier gets you our show notes for each episode in an aesthetically pleasing PDF, our after-hours posts, if there's any extra tidbits or behind-the-scenes info pertaining to any of our episodes, we'll post those along with a blog post or extra photos, and access to our specially curated Spotify playlists. We have created playlists for our WMSR episodes as well as Production Dream playlists for each song episode, and more. Our $5 Lilac tier gets you access to our private Facebook community where we host a monthly live stream. Plus, you'll get access to our Discord server where we host our monthly watch parties. And also on the Discord, you can join in on the discussion with other Magnolia Street neighbors via the various interesting channels and threads. And then here's the $8 Rose tier. This gets you access to extra audio-visual content such as a once-a-month full-length video episode, unlimited bonus videos, uncut footage, cutting room floor footage, bloopers, outtakes, meditations, exclusive interviews, and old home videos from the vault, or spell or ritual videos, and more. It also gets you bonus content to coincide with our song-isodes, such as full-length demo streams of our original Practical Magic-inspired music, plus lyric sheets, guitar chords, and original scratch demos, or bonus video performances of our songs, and more. Lastly, we have our $15 Wisteria Vine tier. Just like a twisting Wisteria Vine, there's a way for you to stay connected with us, the Steenas. In this tier, here we invite you to join our private Marco Polo video messaging app. The app is totally free for both Android and iOS. Sign up with your phone number or email and we will help you do the rest. This is a great way to chat with each other in a more intimate group setting, face to face via video recording. We love to show each other our pets, our gardens, or anything else you'd like to share. And just a reminder that the higher the tier you sign up under, the more rewards you get, because you get all of the rewards of the tiers below it. You can upgrade or downgrade or even cancel at any time. So to support the podcast, head to patreon.com/magnoliastreetpodcast.
Yeah, and there are additional ways to support us and our podcast that don't cost you any money. If you do listen on Spotify, please give us a star rating. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please give us a written review. We love sharing those on our Instagram. And if you're on Instagram, we would really appreciate any reposts or blurbs about our podcast. And make sure to tag us at Magnolia Street Podcast in your feed, posts, stories, and share us with your practical magic love and friends.
Yeah, we got some merch for you guys on our Teespring, and you can find that link over in our Instagram bio, as well as all our other links. And if you guys have been following along with us for the past couple months, you know we have some music coming your way. We're putting the finishing touches on our first studio album with Plaid Dog, so we're really excited about that. So keep a look out on our Instagram for all updates in real time, any news we have on that. We'll try to get to you guys as soon as we get them. Right now, we're kind of at a little bit of a standstill, right? Just
we're
kind of
waiting. Yeah.
Waiting for mixes and, you know, waiting to see what else our tracks might need and all that stuff.
Visit that $8 tier over on Patreon for all of the behind-the-scenes music stuff. We're uploading raw footage from the studio and other little tidbits about Plaid Dog that we've experienced. So just check that out there. I can't wait to share these songs.
I know.
I'm chomping at the bit. Oh, they're so good. They're so good. Okay, so hopefully we're able to share our reactions to these songs. Just, I think you saw me react to it, or at least I recorded myself. I did not have as big of a reaction the very first time listening to it. I was very, very focused. I was listening to our All Hallows Eve song. And then I played it for my mom on a Marco Polo and I was about sobbing. And then I played it on the way into work and I was like, I cannot cry on the way to work. It's just different. You're right. It's something different about playing your music in your car on the way to your job, which makes your money.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of us.
We're manifesting things as we speak. So I know it seems like there's nothing really happening right now, but you know, once we get that music out there, it might be a whole other can of worms. We're gonna open up that Pandora's box. So
Yeah. We
All
thank you
right.
guys for joining us. Come back next week for new episodes. We will talk to you soon. I'm Christina.
I'm Justina, and
And
we'll
we'll
see
see
you
you
next
next time.
time.
At the house on Magnolia Street, would you go down to Magnolia Street with the Mysterio Wild? At the house of magic and mystery, so would you go down to Magnolia Street?
Wow, big motorcycle.
Leave! You're not wanted here!
Not in my neighborhood!
This fucking motorcycle again.
I hear it now.
Motherfucker! Shut up!
Hold on.
This motherfucker.
Oh my god. All right.